Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for this day. And we ask you, Lord, to help us with these questions. And we just ask you to let them sink into the people's minds and give them a real readiness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I just thought I would add this morning that we have 14 countries, 43 state regions, 80 cities, and 225 IP addresses. And that's just on the Christian, the streaming devices. So it doesn't include YouTube. Right now, there are questions of the brothers from South America, and we had yesterday a very good meeting. We had about 15 countries and 30 brothers online, and the first question that they asked was, who is Michael, the archangel, and why do the prophets say that he is Christ? And the answer is, yes, he did say that he was Christ, but never Jesus Christ. We have to be very careful, or you will try to make Jesus God. Remember, Jesus was the body that Christ came in to live in. Remember, Jesus was God, but he was not God. Brother Branham actually said that. He said, now remember, we are not the Word yet, but we are the Word. Now you got, Jesus was not God, but he was God. He was a man, yet he was God. Now, if you have just a mind that's oneness set, you know, you can't understand that. It's just the language is just totally, you just can't understand it. But that's what he said, okay? A vindicated prophet of God. In other words, the body itself is not deity. Brother Brown said that. He said, but deity dwelt in the body, all right? 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, to wit, that God was in Christ. See, if I have a glass of water, then the glass itself is not to be drank. You don't drink the glass. You drink the water that's in the glass. And Christ was in the body, not the body itself, okay? So, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So it says God was in Christ. It never said the man Jesus was God, but God was in him. He was God because God lived in him, but the body was not deity, but deity dwelt in the body. From God's gifts, always find the place. The man, the body, was not deity. So Brother Branham said he was not deity. But deity was in the body. The body has to perish. The very Christ that's in you is the only thing that can raise you up. That's deity, which is God in you. So God was in you. All right? God is in Jesus. Now, he's in a different measure in Jesus, and he's in you because we all have a portion, but he had it without measure. Okay? Now, as for Michael and Christ, Brother Ram said, from only one provided place of worship, only one provided place by God. If you notice, Lucifer is exactly doing the same thing today that he did at the beginning. See, Lucifer at the beginning wanted to build himself a kingdom which was greater and more beautiful than Michael's kingdom, Christ. Okay, again, from Christ the mystery, he said, notice Lucifer in the last days is doing as he did at the first. What did Lucifer do? The first thing that Lucifer done to separate the fellowship of God and man, he wanted to build him a united kingdom of great splendor and seemingly more cultured, a greater kingdom than Michael, Christ had. You got it? Now, if you miss it, just hold up your hand and I'll say it again. You see, Lucifer at the beginning, his purpose in his heart was to achieve a brighter and greater kingdom in heaven than Christ had. Is that right? By seemingly a more cultured, more beautiful, more splendored, than the kingdom of Christ. Now, we've seen the prophet make statements about Michael being Christ, but in this verse, this next verse, he outright says that Michael was Christ. From the beginning and ending of the Gentile dispensation, he said, and at that time Michael shall stand up, that great prince. Now, what Michael was Christ, of course, who fought the angelic wars in heaven with the devil. So there's no getting around this statement, because the other ones, they could say, well, you know, maybe he just, his mind was going from one to another, you know. But in this statement, he actually says Michael was Christ, okay? So if the prophet outright said Michael was Christ, he also said the Logos that came out of God was Christ as well. Now, the second question, what relationship does the strong angel of Revelation 10 have with the angel Michael? All right. The questions are, since we have many worshipers of the archangel Michael, I guess down in South America there's people that actually worship Michael. They have praised him and worshiped him in some churches, and they also say that he is Jesus Christ. That is why these are my questions. Blessings. Well, the answer is, I just showed you that Michael was Christ, but so was Melchizedek. So do we worship Melchizedek? So was the pillar of fire. Do we worship the pillar of fire? So was the burning, so was the rock in the wilderness. The rock was Christ. Do we worship the rock? You see, people kind of get strange ideas, and they don't know how to place the body, or they don't know how to place the fullness of the Godhead in the man, okay? So anyway, I just showed you that Michael was Christ, but so was Melchizedek. So was the pillar of fire that met Paul on the road to Damascus. The Lord Jesus Christ was God in his Son. Jesus is the man, and Christ was a God in the man. The angel that was in Revelation 10:1 was the angel of the covenant, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the same angel that washed over Israel in the desert. All right, from Christ's mystery, said that great angel of the covenant, that one who was with Moses in the wilderness, that one who was who come to Paul on the road to Damascus, that same one permitted his picture to be taken with us. That the same one that was in the picture in the Life magazine the other day, the same word by the same God, through the same channels, by the same way, by the same promise. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in their midst. Then he says here, the angels of God are encamped about those who fear him, that hangs only to his word. No man can respect that without fearing God. Okay? Now, from it is I, be not afraid. Now, we all know that the angel of the covenant, the pillar of fire, was the angel of the covenant, which was Christ. Do you believe that? You brethren will believe that the minister is sure. See, that Moses forsook Egypt, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater measure than that of Egypt. See, now, that was Christ in that pillar of fire when he settled down on the mountain. Now, when he come here to earth, he said, I came from God, I go to God. Is that right? After his death, burial, and resurrection, after his ascension, Saul, which was later called Paul, was on the road to Damascus to arrest the people that were in his way. And right in the middle of the day, that big pillar of fire appeared before him and knocked him down and put out his eyes. And the voice said, now nobody saw the pillar of fire but him. Do you believe the Magi followed a star? No observatory saw it or anything. Look at the heavens altogether. They never saw it because they wasn't looking for it. See, he just appeared to those who he will. Now, Saul was struck down. They didn't see no pillar of fire, but it was so real to Saul till it put out his eyes. And a voice came from it and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who are you? Who is this pillar of fire? He said, I'm Jesus. I come from God. I go to God. All that God was, he poured into Christ. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and all that Christ was, he poured into his church. That day you'll know that I'm in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. See, it's God. It was God above us, God with us, God in us. See what I mean? There it is, the same God. Now, Brother Branham had just said it's Jesus, and now he says it's God. You know why? Because Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. Therefore, the name of the Father is Jesus, and the name of the Son is Jesus. All right. Now, we all take our father's, his name. Mine is Kosorik, and my dad was Kosorik, and my grandpa was Kosorik, and great-grandpa was Kosorik. So we all take the same name. And in fact, the whole host of heaven, that's all the born-again believers, their name is Jesus. Did you know that? That's what the Bible says, okay? Now, not that the pillar of fire is in us, but the God who lived in that pillar of fire lives in us. And since Jesus came in his Father's name, then his Father's name is Jesus. From we would see Jesus, he said, now look, when he was here on earth, how many knows that that was a pillar of fire that followed the children of Israel into the wilderness, that it was Christ, the angel of the covenant? All right. How many knows that that was Jesus in Jesus? There you go. Jesus, the Father, in Jesus, the Son. Okay. That same Spirit. Now look. When they questioned him, St. John 6, calling your attention to it, they said, you say you're greater than Abraham, and he said, why, you're only 50 years old, yet, and he said, before Abraham was, I am. I am was the burning bush. Is that right? A pillar of fire. When he was here on earth, he said, I came from God, I go to God. Did he say that? And then if he came from the pillar of fire, he returned back to it again. After his death, burial, and resurrection, St. Paul was on his road down to Damascus, and a big bright light struck in his face and blinded him. None of the rest of them saw it. Paul saw it. It blinded him. He fell on the ground. What is this pillar of fire again? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus. Is that right? So I ask the question, was it Jesus the man or Jesus the God? It was Jesus the God. The man was sitting on the right hand of the Father, okay? So, in his throne, sitting on his Father's throne, okay? From unwelcome Christ, they said, well, if that picture of the angel of the Lord that you have on the platform over there said, what about that? I said, that's proof, scientific proof, that Jesus Christ still lives and reigns. I said, that's the same pillar of fire or light that followed the children of Israel and brought them through the wilderness and taken them to the promised land. And any reader knows that that was the angel of the covenant, which was Jesus Christ. And I said, he was with the Father before the foundations of the world. He's always been, and he's the same. Okay? For my angel shall go before me. He said, and that pillar of fire, the angel, was the angel of, was the covenant. I believe all ministers would agree with that, that that was the angel of the covenant. If it was the angel of the covenant, then it was the Lord Jesus. It was God, the Holy Spirit. For Moses chose to suffer the reproach of Christ and counted it greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. You see, of course, of Christ. That was Christ, the Logos, the angel of the covenant that led the children of Israel out of Egypt to the promised land, which was just a foreshadow, as he did in the natural then, he does in spiritual today. And from expectations, he said, I know, and any scholar knows, that the angel was the angel of the covenant. Was that right? Which was Christ. That's true. It was. It met Moses in the burning bush. It was the pillar of fire. Not Moses done the works, but it was a pillar of fire that led him, that done the works. And I believe it's the same spirit that was upon Christ is here today. All right? And then testimony of William Branham. Now, just one moment. Now, listen real close. All of us know that the angel that appeared to Moses was Christ. It was the angel of the covenant. You believe that, the angel of the covenant. And from early spiritual experiences. You love him. What am I trying to say? Jesus is here with us. Now, was the man Jesus there? So when people are looking for the second coming, they're looking for the man. But see, Brother Branham said there's an appearing before the coming. So actually, it was God who came down. Just like God came down to Abraham before the promised son. You see, it's all the same. Jesus is here with us. I've kept you longer than I should. Yes, way longer. I'm so sorry, forgive me. Just enthused. But that you might understand that same God, how many believes that the pillar of fire that led the children of Israel was the angel of the covenant? Let's see your hand. That was our Lord Jesus. Is that right? It was Christ. The anointed. Well, see, now, if that was our Lord Jesus, then it wasn't the man. It was the God of the prophet, or God of Jesus, okay? So when God says, or when the Bible says that God hath made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Well, if there's only one Lord, how did he do it? He had to come into him to make him Lord and Christ. He had to, the Spirit had to come into the vessel in order for the vessel to become Lord, because you can't have two Lords. You can't have two Christs. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body, you see? All right. It was Christ the Anointed. Well, look, he appeared to Moses, but it was Moses that did. Okay. Could the angel of the Lord who appeared to Paul out there, who told Peter on the housetop all these things, like he did in the days of Agabus and so forth, isn't that the very analysis, the very symptoms, the very same thing that he did in the days in the New Testament? Then look, Christians, Holy Ghost-filled people look this way. Then the sign of the Old Testament Jehovah God, the pillar of fire, is with us. And the same God that was with the apostles, our Lord Jesus Christ, is with us indisputably through science, through the world, through the Christians, through the church, through everything is perfectly vindicated. It's the same today, the both New and Old Testament. God of the Old Testament was Jesus of the New and the Holy Spirit of today. You know that. Don't you believe that? To blaspheme the Holy Ghost today is just the same penalty or worse than blaspheming Jesus Christ or God the Father. Don't you believe that? Okay. So you see, when Brother Branham is speaking of Jesus Christ, he is referring to the Father of Jesus and who lived in Jesus, making him both Lord and Christ. That is what the Bible teaches. And you always have to look at the context of how he's saying it. Because he says Jesus was in Jesus. Well, which Jesus was in Jesus? All right? Well, God was in Jesus, okay? That's what the Bible says. God was in him, reconciling the world to himself. All right. Acts 2:36, therefore let all the house of Israel know surely that God hath made that same Jesus, the man Jesus, whom you have crucified, that's the man Jesus, both Lord and Christ. And he only did that by stepping into him. All right. How did God make him both Lord and Christ and keep the continuity of Scripture? He came into him, and thus the one God, who was the one Lord, now lived in his Son, giving himself a body to live in. Okay. From blind Bartimaeus, has anybody ever seen the picture of the light, the angel of the Lord, the pillar of fire? They got it. Science has it. Washington has it. Now the church has got it in reality. They got it on a picture. You've got it in reality. It's here with us. It's leading us just as it led Israel, still leading the church. Jesus said, I come from God. Do you believe that Jesus was that burning bush that Moses was out there? You believe that that was Christ? It was the angel of the covenant, the Logos, that went out of God, Christ. When he was here on earth, he said, before Abraham was, I am. You know who I am was? He said, I come from God and I go to God. Now, if this angel that's here with us, if he's the same one that was in Christ, the Logos that was in Christ, if that's in us, it'll do the same thing that it did when it was in Christ. Is that right? Now, the third question is, do you know anything about the Blue Beam Project, also known as the Divine Illumination Project? Can you tell us a bit about this theory? Well, the answer is the Blue Beam Project is a conspiracy theory that has been around since the mid-1990s, originating from Sergei Monast, a Canadian investigative journalist. The theory claims that NASA and other powerful forces are attempting to implement a new age religion with the Antichrist at its head and start a new world order via a technologically simulated second coming. I suppose they intend to use a projection of a hologram. It is conceivable that those who are not elect will fall for this, but cannot say for sure that they will try this. There has been more talk about UFO, but such talk should not affect your revelation of God nor his word. But I would not limit Satan's use of technology to scam so-called Christians out of their faith. They really don't have a revelation anyway. They only have an intellectual basis for their faith. So I suppose you could use a hologram to make them think contrary to the word. Why not? It says the purpose of the project is to destroy traditional religions and replace them with a new age belief system using NASA technology. The theory has resurfaced again during the pandemic caused by the spread of the coronavirus. However, there is no evidence to support the theory. Actually, there is a company named Bluebeam, which is a construction software that helps architects, engineers, and construction teams connect office and field with a reliable, easy accessible, single source of truth. So, basically, it's just a conspiracy theory, all right? Now, question number four. What are the major prophetic events that pertain to and are related to the seventh seal? Well, the answer is the seventh seal speaks of just one event only, and that is the coming of the Lord. That is the only thing that we will see, and then we are caught up. But then it all starts to the Jews, but I do not go into that what he does to the Jews, because it does not pertain to us. It pertains to the Jews only at that time. And frankly, I am not interested in that, only what he has to do with us. Okay? From the seventh seal, Brother Bram said, then when the seven seals were opened, God, notice here, he omitted revealing even any symbol of the seventh one. See, it's a perfect secret with God. Notice now we're going to read in the Bible in the seventh seal. That's found in Revelation, the eighth chapter. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. And that's all we have on it. Again, from Christ is the mystery of God revealed. God's great mystery of how it's a secret. He kept it a secret. Nobody knew nothing about it. Even the angels didn't understand it. See, he didn't reveal it. That's the reason under our seventh mystery, when the seventh seal was opened, there was silence. Jesus, when he was on earth, they wanted to know when he would come. He said, it's not even the Son himself don't know when it's going to happen. See, God has this all to himself. It's a secret. And that's the reason there was silence in heaven for a space of a half hour. And seven thunders uttered their voices, and John was forbidden to write it. See, the coming of the Lord. That's the one thing he hasn't revealed yet, of how he will come and when he will come. It's a good thing that he doesn't. No, he has showed or revealed in every type that's in the Bible. Okay, and then souls in prison, he says, the Lamb took his book when the seventh seal, just ready for it to open, the sixth seal, remember. He hid the seventh seal from us. He wouldn't do it when the angel stood day by day telling it, but then he wouldn't do it on that one. It said, there's silence in heaven. No one knew it. It was the coming of the Lord. So what he does once he comes, we go to the wedding supper. It's done. So there's only one event, that's his coming. Now, what he does to the Jews, I don't care, because it doesn't affect me, okay? It only affects them. So, and he will interpret what he does by bringing it to pass. So, okay, from the fifth question, I found a quote where the prophet says he is not prophesying, but he's predicting that in a few years, a religious organization will be forced to take to make a decision, and they will have a union of churches, and a big boycott will follow this union of churches and all the denominations. They will be forced into it, and will come to pass that very soon, if people do not join an organization or a church, then their doors will be closed. So what is the difference between prediction and prophecy? Then he gives this quote, let me make a prediction. I'm not prophesying. I'm predicting. I predict that in the next few years that all organizational religions will be forced to take a stand, and they will have a union of churches and a great boycott that will follow this union of churches. All denominations will be forced into it, all of them. If they don't, there will be a horrible boycott. Nearly every one of them today has, not knowingly, joined the World Council of Churches, selling their birthright, Protestant brothers with the mother, Catholic of Rome. They'll do that. You know, the Bible said that the tares will be bundled first. They are bundling all in one great group. The Bible said they would be make an image unto the beast. I believe it'll come to pass that shortly, that if people do not join some organization, some church, go in, their doors will be closed. Now the answer is this. Okay? So when he is prophesying, he's letting you know, this is thus saith the Lord from God himself. But when he is predicting, he doesn't have to say thus saith the Lord, because the Lord has already said it in his word in Revelation 13. You see? So he reads Revelation 13, and by that he can predict what's going to happen. It's the same. You can do the same. All right? Now, whether he says it by the spoken word, which is prophecy, or whether he says it because it is already spoken and written by God, which is prediction, we still have the same effect. That is what predict is all about. There has to be a reason to predict. You see, you just don't predict based on nothing. He was predicting based on Revelation 13. Okay? A prediction is based on empirical evidence. If you read my four sermons I just concluded on the World Council of Churches, you will find enough empirical data to be satisfied with his predictions. Okay? Now, we have some questions from the African brothers. from Rising of the Sun, Brother Branham said, until the church or the people, all these Easter bunnies and ceremonies and big churches and finery will fail and pass away, until that church becomes both dynamics and mechanics and the Spirit of God that moved him to do the thing that he did, if he hit on 16 cylinders, so will the bride. Amen. For he said in John 14:12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. So my answer to them was this. So he asked the question, can you please explain these two words, dynamics and mechanics, as it's dealing with about quickening power and resurrection? The mechanics, my answer is, the mechanics is what the scripture tells us. The dynamics is when the Holy Spirit quickens it to us. Okay? Jesus told us that we must worship God in spirit and truth, in dynamics and mechanics. You see, that's it. And if you do not have the Spirit, you will never understand the Word, and you will not understand it. You must worship God both with dynamics and mechanics. 1 Corinthians 2 tells us, no man can understand the things of God unless he is Spirit-filled. 1 Corinthians 2 and 10 says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So in other words, you've got to have the Spirit of God to know the things of God. Okay? Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, in other words, the man who has not been born again, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And so if you don't have the Spirit of God in you, you cannot spiritually discern them. But he that is spiritual, Spirit-filled, judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. All right, and the second part of that question is there a difference between he that believeth on me and he that believeth in me? The world believes on him. My answer is the world believes on him, but the elect believe in him. But to believe in him, you have to be in him believing. That is what the prophet taught. And so I'm going to read you from Oneness. He said, Jesus said, going to the grave of Lazarus, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth in me, not on me, but in me. Him being in him, believing. If you abide in me and my words in you, in him, believing. Oh my, I hope the Holy Spirit gets that right down to you now. Now, you're the little flock. That's why through the week, praying and asking God, I chose this text to show you where we stand. Believing in him. You cannot believe in him until you come in him, or he comes in you. Then you're believing in him. Then you have eternal life. You're believing on him until you receive eternal life. Then eternal life is God's life in you. Then you're believing in him. All right? Ye in me and I in you, that they might be one. Father, even as you and I are one. God in Christ, Christ in the church, see? Just as we are one, so they be one. Then how can you be one? If you abide in me, my words in you. Abide. My words in you, then ask what you will, for it isn't no more, it isn't you no more, it's the word that's in you, and the word is God. So, everybody understand that? The big difference between believing on and believing in. Okay. Question number 7. Position in Christ. Is that right? Waiting, God trying to place his church in position to manifest himself, getting one that he can work through like this and say, there's my spirit flowing freely. There it is. That I can work here. Get another over here and place him. I can place him. Adoption. Placing, manifesting. So question number 7, which is a link between these three words, adoption, placing, and manifesting? Well, the link between these three words is manifesting, because then the word has been materialized. It has become a reality to you, and you are placed and ready for the adoption. All right? Now, question number 8. Brother Brian, as parents, we are wondering about our kids. That's why the following question is asked. Expectations and what is love? Brother Brian said, in this great resurrection, all the old will be young there forever. What death's doing to you now, death will be done away with. And just what life was to you when you was a young man or woman, that's what you'll be in the resurrection. Oh, you who lost those little babies out yonder, maybe premature or whatever, they will be there in the resurrection. Jesus is coming. Now, the question and answers, again, he says, unless you are born again, circumcised of the Holy Spirit, you've got to be. I don't care how good you are, what church you belong to, how good your parents was, except you as an individual has been born again by the Holy Ghost, you'll never go in the rapture. See, you can't go. All right, so the question is, how can babies be in the resurrection without being born again? That's a good question. But the answer is by election. That is the only way. God knows all, and he knows your end, and before it even began. So, you know, he said, I love Jacob, and I hated Esau before they were even born. So it begins so in love. He allows certain things that we do not understand, okay? You were predestinated to receive the Holy Ghost, or you were not. And before you were even born and came to this world, God knew you and predestinated you and foreordained that you will be there. It's up to him. Okay, now, from Jehovah Jireh, he says, no man can come unto me except my Father draws him. All the Father has given me will come to me. What are you scared about? What are you afraid of? You say, well, maybe I'm just not the right kind of a Christian. How can you come to God without God calling you first? And all that he foreknew, he has called. Is that right? All that he has called, he has justified. Is that right? All that he has justified, he hath already, past tense, has glorified. Amen. It's a finished work from the foundations of the world. Christians don't see that you're living under your privilege. You don't know who you are. Okay. And from Works of Faith Express, he said, just seeds has to have the ground prepared first. Therefore, all that he foreknew, he called. All he called, all he foreknew, he predestined. If you want to read that, Romans 8, 28 to 34, and also Ephesians 1 to 5, see, all he foreknew, he did call. All he did call, he justified. And all he justified, he has glorified. There's nothing out of order. We think there is, but look in the scripture. It's just hitting exactly the way God's word said it would. We see the message is rejected today. Isn't that just what the scripture said that they would do? Sure, all these things are ordained of God. And from proving his word, Daniel spoke of it, how the wise will be in that day, and how the unwise and so forth. All right, so much, but I just keep getting too far away. The clock's moving too fast for me now. Notice now, watch. He noticed after. Now watch what's taking place. And all he foreknew, he called. All he called, he justified. All he justified, he hath glorified. Your journey's finished. You're living out your part. See, we are just here for testing. That's it. But God's already known that we're going to pass the test. So that's why we already have a glorified body waiting, okay? Grace is what God did for you. Works is what you do in appreciation. Proved by his same thing, that he knowed all things, this virgin-born son, he knowed where there was some fish in the water that Peter and them had seined right over and had caught nothing, that proved his word. Is that right? He knowed all things. And when he got ready to pay his taxes, it showed that he owned all things. He knowed where the fish was that had just enough coin in his mouth to pay for the, and somebody had dropped it out there. And that fish just picked it up. And he said, Peter, go down and cast in the line, see, and take up that fish and get that coin out of his mouth and go on and satisfy them. Pay the taxes. Oh, yes. Okay, and from adoption or placing, he said, we'll start on at the 8th verse to get a little background. Wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, the mystery of his will. And remember how we hung on that. How many was here this morning? Let's see. How we stuck on that, the mystery of his will. Now, it is not just a little thing, then it's a mystery. God's will is a mystery. And each man has to seek out the will of God for his or herself, God's mystery. How do we find out? Paul, it was known to him. He said he didn't confer with any man, no flesh and blood. He went to no school, no seminary. He had nothing to do with it, but it was revealed to him by Jesus Christ, who met him on the road to Damascus in the light like a pillar of fire. Called him and he went to Arabia and there dwelt 3 years. Oh, don't you imagine that was some time, Brother Egan. 3 years, Paul was down in Arabia, rented him a little building somewhere, walking up and down the floor with the old scrolls. They didn't have the new ones. Paul wrote them mostly. Right in these old scrolls, how that God, at the beginning, predestinated us unto eternal life, how that we would send Jesus, he would send Jesus, that through this scripture, we'd have a right to the tree of life. Those who he foreknew, he called. Those who he called, he has already justified. Those who he has justified, he has already glorified. God, since the beginning of the world, predestinated us to the adoption of sons. Now the whole creation groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Oh, I'd imagine Paul had a wonderful time. I'd like to have been there with him, wouldn't you? And another quote here from Hebrews chapter 6 and 7. He said, I've often wondered, I wish I could have heard that voice say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'll probably never hear that literally like he spoke it then. But I want to hear him say that at the last day, it was well done, my good and faithful servant. Now enter into the joys of the Lord that's been prepared for you. Since how long? Since you got saved? No, brother. Since the foundations of the world, when I saw you and foreknew you and ordained you to eternal life. You were blessed then, and that he hath foreknew, all that he hath foreknew, he has called. Is that right? All he called, he has justified. Those who he has justified, he has already glorified. There you are. He foreknew us, called us, justified us, and we're already glorified with him at the end of the world, going to our reward. Aren't you happy? Sure, it'd make you love him when you couldn't help yourself here. He come and done that for you. Now, Brother Branham explained that although he called you from before the world, since he knew your end from your beginning, he may take you because he doesn't want you to have to suffer a certain way, so he just takes you. He told Brother Shakarian that he took the baby because he saw it was going to have a certain trial, and he did not wish for the baby to go through that trial, but I will say this, if that baby is ordained to be there, it will be there. And there is nothing going to prevent it from being there, not even a premature death. All right, so that gives us grace to know that if you had a premature child, that you'll see him in the resurrection. Now, and the reason why God took him before his birthing is because he knew that he would maybe get among the wrong crowd or something like that. And so God spared him a life of misery. All right. Now from question number 9, from Israel at the Red Sea in Matthew 27, it says that many of the bodies of the saints that slept in the dust rose and came out of the city and appeared to many of them in the city. I can see Sarah and Abraham coming down the street saying, oh honey, look here. They've changed these things a little bit. Look around here. This looks like, somebody said, who is that couple there? It seems like they're strangers. They say, we're recognized. And then from, how can I overcome? Remember, appeared in the city. See, the rapture will be like that. We'll see each other and we'll see them. The rest of the world won't see them. It'll be caught away as a secret going, waiting for that time, then returning back to the earth for that glorious millennium, then the 1,000 years, and the rest of the dead live not for 1,000 years, and then come forth the general resurrection where all Israel. Okay. So our question is, according to the first quote, the dead were seen, which is the Alpha ministry. But in the second quote, he says they will not be seen during the Omega ministry, What can you say about that? All right. The answer is, he said they were seen. He said they weren't seen by the world. Now, who saw them in the Alpha ministry? Was it just people in the world? And then how did Paul know about it? How did the apostles know about it? It wasn't seen by the people in the world. It was seen by the people that were in the resurrection. I mean, the people that were living and watching the resurrection, the believers. It was believers, just the same as they without us can not be made perfect. So when they appear, we will see them. I will see Don as a 20-year-old man, okay? But maybe his sisters won't. You know, I have a clue. Maybe other people that are living in the neighborhood won't see him, but the elect will see him. You boys, I believe you're elect, you will see him. All right? Now, he said they were seen, so we must ask this question, by whom? And in our day, they will also be seen by whom? In both days, it will be by those who remain and are living during the period we call the resurrection season. Now, remember, Alpha and Omega are the same. The Alpha and Omega is the same. He said, I am Alpha and Omega. He never said anything in between. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the last. That's it. The first ministry and the last ministry is the same. The first message and the last message is the same. So if they're the same, then he wasn't saying that they won't see him in this age, but they will see him in that age. He was saying the ones who saw him were believers. The ones who saw Abraham, Sarah, and whatever. The others wouldn't recognize who Abraham, Sarah are. They wouldn't recognize any of them, but the believers might. Okay. Now, question 10. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. His presence in the individual with a personal vindication of himself, expressing himself, a vindication of the greater revelation of God, look only in the individual, never in a group. An individual, not in a group. His identification is with an individual. You get that. So the question is the prophet speaking about the end time messenger only, or the whole bride? Is this speaks of John 14:12 as well? Well, when he says the word individual, you have to look at the context, or you can miss entirely his meaning. Like he says, it is a one-man message. He speaks of the prophet alone. But then he tells us how it goes from the one man to the people through a ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. But when it says to an individual, he speaks just that. It's that individual with God and God alone. It's never a group or a church. It's an individual to an individual only. So from harvest time, he says, quickly now, let's go to this next thought here if we can. In vain do they worship me. Those Pharisees learned, morally good, but called by Jesus devils. Them learned theologians, Jesus said, you're devils, and the works of your father you will do. Said, you garner the tomb of the prophets, but your fathers back in there are the same. The prophets came forth to tear down these religious systems. That's what they've done. Prophets. Where does the word come? To the theologian or the prophet. Not to a theologian and a school. It comes to a prophet always. God never changes his system, never. Always has, always will. Not to a group, to an individual. Never to a group, but an individual. Yes. Yes, sir, a prophet. And they said, Jesus said, you garnish the tombs of the prophets and your fathers put them in there. And they're doing the very same thing under the blindness of Satan's seminaries. So, you see, here that individual is a prophet. His context was a prophet. Why? Because the word comes to the prophet, not to a group like men, like those men who believe the thunders will be revealed to a group of seven men. Never does God reveal anything to a group of men. He reveals his word to a prophet. That's Amos 3:6, okay, not Malachi. Now, from the mighty God unveiled, he says, notice, we find out that this was hid to the unbeliever, but revealed to the believer. Notice, Moses had to enter this pillar of fire alone. No one could go with him. What does that speak to us? That you don't come into this by joining a Pentecostal group. See, he never revealed it to a group. He revealed it to an individual. And that's the way it is today. You say, well, I belong to a church. I belong to this. That won't work, see? And for anyone to try to follow Moses to impersonate it was death. And so it is today, spiritual death to try to impersonate. Okay, so now in this case, he's speaking about how God brings his message. In this case, it was through one man, and he was an individual, not to a group. But then that individual speaks that revelation that God spoke, and it goes to whosoever hears, to a bunch of individuals, you see, which can be individuals in the group, because a group is made up from many individuals. Now, from message oneness, he said he tried to do everything to get it back, and the only way that he could establish it was to come back to the individual like he was at the beginning. That's the way it is today to an individual, not to a denomination, not to an organization, not to a group of people, but to an individual. Notice, to reestablish oneness between God and man. And so here again, he tells us how God chooses one man, and from that man, the others will hear. Okay? And then from escape hither, come quickly. He said, notice Cain's people. Cain's people were smart, scientific people. Cain's people was religious, had big churches, educated scholars. They went to working in science. They brought out the metal. They built houses. They were builders and great things. Look at it today. Look at the other side, how religious they are. But the people that went into the ark was the people who were humble farmers. Right. But the other side got the intellectual conception. When the true side of God has a revelation of Jesus Christ, not by written word, but by spiritual revealed truth. Amen. Oh, blessed be his name. God reveals himself to an individual, and quickly he becomes deity on the inside of him. He's a son or daughter of God. Speak to this mountain, don't doubt, but it'll move. You get it. Now, in this case, he's talking about many individuals. Are you an individual, and yet you attend a church that believes the message? So it is to the individual only that he deals with. Then it's not everyone who makes up that local body, because there's three kind of believers in every church. I hope you see that when Brother Branham says that it's to an individual, you must understand the context that he's speaking about, or you will drive yourself crazy, as many have already done. So, like I said, when he says God deals with the individual, he's not only talking about a prophet, but he's talking about you, the individual. Not the whole group, because there's three kinds of believers amongst that group. You see? So it's just the individual, an individual alone with God. Okay, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for these questions that we had. And so, Lord, we just pray they settle in and just give us some rest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.